Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Is it over, Tone?
I actually don't think it is.
Oh. All right. Tell me why.
Because I do think Indiana can beat Oklahoma City back in Indiana. I don't think Indiana's afraid of Oklahoma City. I don't think like they're in the heads of Indiana. Now, the one thing to watch, obviously, is this, what is it, a calf for Tyrese Halliburton?
Correct. Because, I got more on that here in just a moment.
Yeah, he was not an offensive threat to score at any point. Like, he couldn't elevate. He couldn't explode by anybody. They still guarded him. Like, they still trapped him, like, 30 feet from the basket. So I still think if they're going to guard him, then, you know, if they can just get a little bit of help, they could come back and win. You know how this is. Like, game six, they'll get every call. They'll be at home. Caitlin Clark will be sitting courtside. Halliburton's dad will be there. Like, the NBA wants to see this go seven. Like, I thought Oklahoma City got every call in the first half yesterday. So I think that alone could change things, and just you got to hope Oklahoma City misses shots, because they did not miss shots yesterday. It was an unbelievable, the Jalen Williams game reminded me of Kyrie back in 2016, what he did in those final, the second part of that series.
It was an impressive performance. Well, you ready to have it? Ready to have it out?
Yeah.
So why can Tyrese Halliburton, who's a good player, really good player, really, 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 really good player.
You said face of the league.
I said he would vie for face of the league if they won the finals, for F's sake. Lord.
Can we get a fact check on
that?
Well,
I mean, seriously. Yeah, do a fact check on it. That's what I say. Now, I'm not going to get mad at 6:05 in the morning.
Call the censors and let them know.
Well, I'm serious.
And Harmon's awake and alive.
Well, for the love of God, he takes every... Which, by the way, speaking of taking words and twisting them and making me look bad, did you ever give a take on Nick Chubb, by the way, on Friday? Because I realized that after the show on Friday, I go, damn it, I got so defensive about defending the whole Nick Chubb thing and saying, guys, I put Nick Chubb in the Ring of Honor. The NFL's just not going to allow his jersey to be retired.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people had some fun with me just going, Ken's worked into a shoot again. But I go, you know what? I don't remember getting Lime on the record about Nick Chubb and whether or not his jersey should be retired.
They should retire his jersey. They should put a statue outside of the stadium. It was weird to see Ken go to the other side of me on that. I didn't anticipate that.
Oh, he texted me that the other day.
Yeah, I did. I sent a flurry of texts. I said, I still can't believe Ken hasn't reversed course on this. That's not like Ken, man of the people.
I said the NFL would stop it. I said, if you want to... Yes, why? Well, the NFL's not going to stop it?
They would intervene.
They are... You can ask anybody with the Browns. Ask anybody with the Browns. They are extremely... stringent? Is that what I'm looking for there at 6:06 in the morning?
They're stingy with their numbers.
They are crazy about the numbers and not retiring the numbers. Because you can always go back and ask a player to wear a number if they're retired. Remember the famous, they had Andy Katzenmoyer wear number 45 and the big cat at ass
Stuff
Archie Griffin.
Could come out of retirement.
Yeah, if he could wear number 45. So you could bring it out of retirement. Problem is, if the guy passes away, who are you going to ask? Like, you can't ask Jim Brown to wear 32 now. Mm-hmm. You might be able to ask the estate or the family. I guess you could probably do that if you wanted to, but that's a whole thing.
You mean, like, go up to the house of wherever the family lives and go, estate, can I do this?
You knock on the door first is what you do, or hit the ring bell, whatever it is.
I feel like the estate would not have a door. I feel like you'd have a big gate. You'd have to try to breach.
Okay, well, then you go up to
the
gate.
Like Scarface, you'd have to catapult over the gate.
You drive up to the gate. It's been a long time since I've seen Scarface. I forget that part. I remember when the cop gets shot, which he was a dirty cop anyway, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I want to make sure. That guy just died in real life, didn't he? R.I.P. You drive up to the gate, and you press the button, and you go, estate, and they go, yes. Who are you?
Do you think it's a butler that answers the phone at the estate?
His name is Jeeves. That's where I'm at. And he goes, hello. And you say who you are, and you say that you're a running back, and can I wear Nick Chubb's jersey? Well, Nick Chubb's still alive. Can I wear Jim Brown's jersey?
Is the butler still always a British accent?
That's what
do Americans not want to do that job? Feels like that could have been an opportunity.
Well, that's a great point. Yeah, you don't see very many American butlers. Damn it. That's true. There's not very many American butlers.
So the only thing
Mr.
I knew,
Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, Mr. Belvedere. What was
wait a minute. Was Mr. Belvedere American?
Was Benson a butler?
I don't remember. I never saw Benson. Sorry. You're on your own on that one.
Wasn't a valet? I don't know.
All right, Mr. Belvedere. We're going to a weird place right now. But
I'm
you
looking
took
up
me
Benson.
There. You took me there. Anyway, what the hell was I going to say? Well, the house was supposedly in Pittsburgh. People in Pittsburgh can have a butler? I'm sorry. So my whole thing was his jersey, it's just the numbers. The NFL is going to, damn it. And then I got upset because I'm sitting there on Friday afternoon and I go, you know what? That guy didn't say nothing. I mean, just sat there and had to defend myself.
I think I made the case on Friday that the logo of the NFL should no longer be the shield. It should be Nick Chubb.
A silhouette.
Running the football.
Like Jerry West, yeah. Yeah, that's
I think I made
exactly.
that abundantly clear.
And I remember that.
Again, it was bizarre to hear Ken, you know, totally on the opposing end of that.
It wasn't totally on the other end of that. But again, you'll always take my words and twist them to fit whatever crazy thing you want me to say. I think I have my excuse, though. If Tyrese Halliburton, who is not going to be the face of the league, but could vie for the face of the league if they win. If Tyrese Halliburton's out, and did he hit any shots last night? Did Tyrese hit a single bucket?
Zero.
He had the goose egg when it comes to field goals.
And he has a calf injury.
Mm-hmm.
Then why can't I blame things on Darius being hurt?
Yeah, and I've seen some of this. And obviously, since the Cavs have lost, any conversation we've had at all about the future of the Cavs, whether to blow up the core, tweak the core, don't do anything, just assume we're going to be good next year. A lot of it is on the injuries, most specifically to Darius Garland.
Yep.
Which, the problem with that is, I just haven't seen Garland really play well in the playoffs.
I understand
so
that.
And I don't know that I could just assume that he would have been really, really good if healthy.
But you know what stops him from giving the chance to keep playing really well in the playoffs? An injury. A serious toe injury where he needed surgery.
Yeah,
he required surgery.
It sucks because these were the playoffs. I thought we could finally debunk a lot of that stuff. I had been enamored with his play throughout most of the year until the final month and a half where he was awful shooting the ball. And I was like, finally we can. And then in the Miami series, everybody played well, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody, anybody, Ty Jerome, Amani Bates could have played in that series and he would have been really good. That's just how that series was going. Then we get to the next series against Indiana. We're favorites. Even after we're losing games, Vegas still had us as the favorite. People kept asking me. I'm like, yeah, we're more talented than the Pacers. And now everybody's gone the other way. Everybody's like, well, no, the Pacers are more talented. I'm like, well, we're just playing the results now. We're just thinking who wins the games.
If I'm still more talented, if I'm still more talented, like, do you think... And I'm not going to attack you for this. I want to know.
Attack me?
No. I want to know. If I'm in attack mode, I'll set you up differently. Do you think who do you think is the more natural talented player? Is it Darius Garland or Tyrese Halliburton?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, well, that's why
probably Darius. Okay. Darius is the handles. He has so much. Tyrese
There's
is
a big
really
difference
talented
between
too.
6'5", 6'6", and 6'2", 6'1".
But that's not the talent part of it, right? That's the physical stuff.
But that's the physical part of it. Like Tyrese Halliburton, even though I know he's had a calf injury here tonight, last night, I should say, he is. The more sturdy, even the boy, he's had a serious injury or two.
Yeah,
he would be thought of as the more sturdy player between him and Darius Garland. Like, there's going to be a lot more. There's going to be a lot more groaning injuries where you're like, really, like the facial stuff, the nose, the toe. Which the toe, they're all serious. But I think at the moment they happen, I think a lot of fans go, oh God, here we go again. I think that a lot of fans do it, and I think that's okay to do. You're observing. You want your team to win. He is a big part of that. But when I see a team,
Halliburton's always been like, more pass first.
Wins game six.
Then Garland.
Game six would be on Thursday.
Yeah, I believe
all
so.
Right, then game seven would probably be on Sunday. Right. Yep. That's how those pivotal games go. So if you got to a game six and Tyrese Halliburton is limping around, if I hear on Friday morning that it was all because Tyrese Halliburton was injured, I mean, I'm probably going to lose my mind here because I'm going to go, well, why can one team have the excuse of being injured and one team can't? If you want to say that Tyrese Halliburton has proven more in the playoffs and has risen to the moment bigger in the playoffs than Darius Garland, I got no argument against that. But that's the typical answer. That's the typical thought of, well, the winners get to write the history. Because we lost, but I still think the history has proven, like, hey, man, you got a guy who's a big part of your basketball team who goes down with a serious toe injury. I want to say foot, but a toe injury and needs surgery and can't run around. That's going to have a significant impact on your basketball
that's fair.
Team. He did not get the chance to great in this postseason.
And that's what stinks.
And that's part of my argument for him.
We got to wait a whole nother year. Like, he could play at an all-NBA level next regular season, then you're still going to be able to say, well, what happens in the playoffs when they allow physicality, when he gets picked on defensively much more in a series than he would in a regular season game. I think part of it is that, you know, the Pacers have shown the ability to overachieve, and the Cavs haven't shown that ability in any of their playoff
runs. No, they haven't.
I'm probably too down on their playoff setup that I should be. Their regular season, I mean, I couldn't say enough good things about them in the regular season.
Well, who
could
say anything bad about them in the regular season?
It's why, but it had me believing.
Can't say nothing.
It had me believing about their playoff run. Now, am I going to be that way next year? I don't think I will.
Now I will go into attack mode. Because I think that this postseason, and a guy like Tyrese Halliburton, who is, again, I didn't say he was overrated. His own compadres in the NBA said he was overrated. There was a lot of people don't really know who he is, and there wasn't much face of the league.
Right before the end of next season, do you think that could be Darius? Do you think Darius could be considered one of the more overrated players
in the league?
Well,
you're going to hate what I'm having to say now, because I think that if we're talking about convenient excuses, I think the injury to Darius Garland gave the people who've been wanting Darius Garland gone, who thinks that this team is better without Darius Garland, I think it gave them all the ammo in the world to fire away at Darius Garland.
Because Ty Jerome at the end of that Miami series, that's what started the conversation. We said it was stupid. Like, we came on the air the next day and said, that is idiotic.
Jerome went back to being Ty Jerome.
Yeah.
But, like Jared Allen. He has a very strong, it's like a weird fan base there. He has his fans, and they will attack you for wanting to trade him. But I think in the overall scheme of things, it's like, all right, you would see Jared Allen as a tradable commodity. Darius, I think that there is a group of Darius truthers. I think you're one of them. That look at him as an overrated player by guys like me. And I think that this is where you guys have found your excuse to get rid of him. Yeah, I'll say it like that. Get rid of him. Find somebody you think is going to be better in the postseason. Where my argument for Darius is that how can he have the chance to be great in this last postseason if he's injured? I think it's an unfortunate set of circumstances there. And I just don't want to give up on players.
Are you banking on him being healthy in a postseason?
I can't.
But that's the hard part.
And that's the argument. That's the fight back that comes back to me is I don't have faith that he's going to be necessarily healthy because I think it could happen at any time. I mean, you could limit his minutes. You could do what you can. Like, this would be the perfect year. You think about this. This would be the perfect year for Darius to limit minutes, load manage. Hey, you're coming back from an injury. He's probably going to miss if it was a how many month recovery for that toe. If he was going to miss that many months, 5 months, if he was going to miss that much time, you're going into November, you're going to miss parts of the games with that. Then you get to December. Then if you want to load manage, it'd be the perfect time. But Darius has been contact, swipes across the face, things like that. So you could see him getting hurt again in the next postseason. But that's the player you drafted. And that right now is the best player for you. Because there's something else I'm going to say at 6:22. That I'm hearing from some people that I think that we have to be very, very careful on when it comes to the Cavaliers. But what I think what I've hit, and it's been a while, and I think it's crystallized in this series, in this finals, is that there has been a drumbeat. You are one of the people holding one of the sticks, beating that drum. There has been a drumbeat to remove Darius Garland, to trade Darius Garland, and I think that injury, for both reasons. One, he wasn't able to show up in the playoffs. Two, well, then, Kenny, you're defending a brittle player. It gave them two reasons to move on. You know, the one Cavs beat reporter saying, The Cavs need to move on. It's time for him to go. They need to move in a different direction, to the point where he's been subtweeted by members of the organization there. Yet that's something that stuck with me over the last couple of years, because it got quiet during the regular season. You can't say anything bad about a team that's winning 17 games in a row, for crying out loud. But when this happens, and then I have a team with Tyrese Halliburton going out there and doing it, it's going to give everybody they need, everything they need, the ammo, to remove Darius Garland from this team. But if Tyrese Halliburton goes down, and I hear if they go down on Thursday night, and I keep, well, the calf. All right, well, my player got hurt too. Maybe the excuses just matter for the teams that make the finals. I don't know. I don't make the rules. I just argue them. They're in everybody's emotions. You know, I know we keep talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and everybody else. Could he be the face of the league? Could he end up as the guy as the face of the league? If he wins the championship here, it's like this is your one shining moment, but in the NBA. Okay. There you go. I was right. Was I not right?
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton?
Yeah, because I did say that I wanted it fact checked. Oh, what do you think?
I know that you're saying that he would be the face of the league.
I said he can vie for face of the league. Can he not? If they win, and they're not going to win,
his one shining moment. That means one moment doesn't mean you're the face of the league.
Now, he did have like four shining moments.
Yeah, that's what I'm meaning.
He also had 4 points last night.
Yeah, he had zero field goals. Now, did have the injury.
Well, that's not a shining moment, and he had an injury. So we take him and we make him what he is, or what we want him to be. He is the catalyst for an injury. He is the catalyst for a loss because of an injury. And I can do the same thing with Darius Garland if I want to, because it does annoy me, and I think that several people on the internet seem to agree with me, that I think it's been a convenient thing here over the last month with Darius's injury to find the folks who have been wanting to move on from Darius Garland to find their convenience of moving on from Darius Garland. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to move on from him, that they're going to combat that argument, but I think it's much easier said than done, considering what you can or can't get back because of what's going on with the second apron. And, you know, I don't think we made a very big deal about the Desmond Bain trade yesterday that maybe we should have, because a lot of folks are wondering whether or not Orlando has passed you up. Now, I think that some of that is crazy talk, because they're disappointed in the Cavs and how the season ended, but I think a lot of people are talking about whether or not the Cavs were passed up because of this Desmond Bain trade, which was a big, big, big trade in NBA parlance.
I thought it was a great trade for them. I thought it was the perfect time to swoop in. It reminded me, like I said yesterday, of the Indiana Pacers trading for Siakam. Not necessarily a household name or, you know, a perennial MVP candidate. You know, Desmond Bain is just a role player, right? But a really good one. Somebody who is a really, really good shooter, and he can defend at times, and he can defend 1 through 4. He can switch. Seems to be perfect additive for what they need.
7:20, Lima has a special event tonight that he wants to have a couple of pops at, and he doesn't know if he's going to be allowed to by his wife. We will tell you about that coming up at 7:20 this morning. I have heard a sentiment here, and I think that we do need to be careful about it. And 6:40, by the way, I have a dangerous comparison to make between your Cleveland Guardians and another team. There's been something that's been written and said even. I heard Nick and Jonathan talking yesterday, and I don't think they're wrong about this. Usually we go on the attack and we say when each other's wrong. Ivan yesterday, and I heard Nick and Jonathan talking about how, you know, whoever wins, that team ends up being emulated. Like, if the Oklahoma City Thunder win, then teams tend to want to build like that. And I think, you know what? In so many ways, it's so true across sports and for decades and decades and decades. The dominant team. But I think in today's NBA, and really over the last how many years now, I think that's a dangerous proposition. For us to watch Oklahoma City and say, we need to build like that. Or for us to watch Indiana, if Indiana were to win the next 2 games, we need to build like them. There's been 7 champions in 7 years.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And I think that all those teams have been different to some level. I mean, over the last 7 years, you think about it, you're going out of the tail end of the super team era into this difference of how does the CBA work? How do you put together a team? How do you make it stay as long as you can? Now we're seeing more and more, and you're noticing this. Teams have to be better on the margins. Before it was, and this is why, you know, when it comes to the big three, core four, whatever it is, that's part of the reason I'm a little bit skittish on moving on all these guys, or a lot skittish of it. You know, I'm seeing guys that we don't talk about during the regular season step up and play well. They're better on the margins, filling in the gaps, changing the way that they play to help fill in those gaps a little bit better. And I think that if you set yourself up to say, we are going to be Oklahoma City, we are going to be the Boston Celtics, we are going to be Team X, Team Y, Team Z, I think you're going to get lost in like 2 years. I don't know if a team has the wherewithal to be able to do that because of how the CBA works and how stringent it is now. But also, even if you were going to do it in the draft or anything, I think you can get lost real quick about the type of basketball team you want. I think we're in a very dangerous era of basketball.
Yeah,
and even the athlete that's playing the game right now.
Yeah, well, and the Pacers, they look like they're probably going to lose now. I still give them a fighting chance to win Game 6, and you know, who knows when you have a Game 7. Who knows what kind of chaos that creates, but they built an identity. They have an identity. They do it differently than just about any team. And here they are in the NBA Finals, and they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals two consecutive years and have overachieved both years. The Cavs, it all comes back to whether or not we think fundamentally the Cavs are built the right way. Now, we've given Kobe Altman a ton of credit, rightfully so, for building a team that anybody would even think would have a chance with the two small guards, right? And you know, the duplication they have with the two big men. Remember, we've been arguing about this forever, whether or not this actually works. In the regular season, it works. That debate is over. I mean, they cruise to the number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So it works in a regular season. Now, of course, coming back next year, fans aren't going to care about a regular season. They're going to care whether or not this team can catapult off of that and use their identity to win in the postseason. And that is the hard part of this, because it's not easy to just say, okay, I don't know that Darius and Donovan work anymore. Let's trade Darius no matter what. Mm-hmm. I've never said that. You know, if you're going to do a Darius trade, it has to make sense. You have to get longer. You have to get more athletic. You have to get bigger. You know, you have to find different types of ways that you can do this. We were hoping that, you know, Donovan Mitchell would play like a superstar in the playoffs, and he didn't shoot it like a superstar. But, I mean, he got to the free throw line a ton in that series. It should have been good enough, right? If we would have operated the way that we thought we could. All right, Evan Mobley. Well, Evan Mobley just didn't get the ball enough.
No.
But Evan Mobley, that should fit on any team. Being a dominant defensive player of the year type player who can guard anybody on the perimeter and can block shots at the rim. That works with any team. That works with any identity. It's some of the other pieces that you wonder about. You know, and DeAndre Hunter unfortunately injures his hand on that dunk attempt, and that sucked because now you know, you just don't know how close to 100% he was and what that did to his rhythm.
And this is another thing to it, and I might be trying to grasp at straws here for arguments for Darius Garland to some folks, but I'm going to make every single one I can. I'm going to empty the clip on it all. For Darius, you just said it. You can't just trade away Darius for nothing. The right deal has to be there. It all has to make sense with the salaries, and it all has to make sense with the tax exemptions and all that other crap that we talk about. But I think that we could find a spot where if you don't move on from Darius, and I think it's very hard to move on from him. If you don't move on from Darius, I don't think it's anything to be down about. I think it's something to learn from, and this is where the regular season matters. And you'll have to watch this going into next year. Is this a spot where the injury can actually help? Because if he's going to miss, if it's 5 months and he's going to miss part of the beginning of the season, Evan Mobley can't sit there and change the way he's going to play. Because if you're the Cavs, all right, get those shots up. We need the ball in your hands. It's time for you to become the player we need you to be. You've been in the league here for 5 years now. I know you're still a pup, but you've been in the league here for a while. It's time for you to rise and be the type of player that we need you to be. And by the time Darius comes back, we can't go back to the old ways. If you went back to the old ways, we'll probably get the same results, and we're all going to be disappointed by that. But the regular season mattering because of the injury to Darius Garland, it may force Evan Mobley to be that type of player, and we can't take a step back from that. Because it does sound to me more and more, in the series against Indiana, if Evan Mobley was more assertive with his shot, are we able to beat Indiana in game two? If Evan Mobley is more assertive with his shot, are we able to get back in that series? I think that these
teams,
I can't guarantee we'd win the series with the injuries there and just Evan Mobley being a kid. But I think that these are questions you have to ask. And would we be better off with the health of all these guys and then a more dominant, assertive Evan Mobley? I think the answer is clear to everybody.
Teams don't have an answer for a 6'11 guy dribbling who all of a sudden is bullying guys underneath the basket. They don't have an answer for that. But when you've got the two guards monopolizing all the shots, all the point of attack, you know, drives, all of that stuff, which is what we saw in that series. Again, we're talking about the injury to Garland, and yet he takes more shots than Evan Mobley in that elimination game. Can't happen.
It's not going to be exciting to move Okoro, unless you just can't stand Isaac Okoro. It's not going to be exciting to move Dean Wade for pieces that fit in. But my case in point for everything is that you may have the ingredients still with this team, watching what's gone on in this finals and the rest of the NBA playoffs, knowing that the league is as wide open as it's ever been, which is going to create more disappointment. Because there's more teams, and this is your point to a lot of this, there's more teams than ever who think they have a chance to win something. And so there's going to be more teams that are disappointed in the end. If you're not one of the two teams in the NBA past during the 2014 to 2018 run between the Cavs and the Golden State Warriors, if you weren't a fan of either one of those teams, there wasn't a reason for you to get sorely disappointed. Now there's a reason. But I think that you have to be that much better on the fill-in pieces, the guys who are the 6th, 7th, and 8th guys that come in off the bench that make that difference. We're in a weird place with the Guardians right now. At a place so weird that Zach Meisel is as flustered and frustrated as I've ever heard Zach Meisel. Here's him on his Selby is Godcast podcast.
They make it so hard to talk about them because so many of the flaws are self-inflicted. Or if you don't want to criticize the front office and ownership for maybe not doing more over the offseason or not trading prospects for established big league talent, then we could spend the next 45 minutes talking about their continued failure at developing position player prospects. It's a whole organizational thing. The counter argument to everything I'm saying is that, well, like, they've been a winning team since blah, 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 and they've made the playoffs in this many years. And yeah, that's more aggravating, I think, to people, because you're shown that, like, you can do enough to get there, but you can't do more. You can't take the next steps. You can't improve yourself organizationally to the level that you don't have to hang your hat on that. Not only are they miserable and struggling, but my God, are they a boring brand of baseball to watch right now.
You had home remodelers in your home yesterday. And you were inundated with inundated is the wrong word, but what the hell. You had people in your home who were not fans of Cleveland sports. Please make the comparison, if you will, because I think it's an apt one.
Yeah, these guys working were from Pittsburgh. And by the way, I had no idea who Andrew Filippone was, which I thought was embarrassing. But they are big sports fans, huge
Steelers
fans. Not
embarrassing for them, embarrassing
right.
for Pony.
Oh, yeah. In the worst way possible. Send this clip over to Pony. Yes. I mean, you've got to figure that out. Anyway, so he's talking about how they're not excited at all. I'm like, well, you just got Aaron Rodgers. What are you talking about? How could you not be excited? Even if you don't think Aaron Rodgers...
figure that out.
even if you don't think Aaron Rodgers... I mean, these guys are in work vehicles all day. I've never heard of Andrew Filippone. It's really connecting to your listeners. Your blue-collar workers.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I'm sitting there going, how could you not be excited? Like, it's a new quarterback again. There's always new excitement with a new quarterback, especially one that's a Hall of Fame talent. We just hear people, we've had people on the station say he's still got the arm talent. So what's not exciting about that? And he's like, yeah, we think we'll just be decent, but no chance to win anything in the playoffs. We'll make the playoffs and that's it. And I'm like, man, that is just such a different state of affairs than I'm used to. But then I'm like, wait a second, is that where the Guardians are at now? Where making the playoffs just doesn't seem to titillate the fans the way we thought it maybe should in this city.
I think you're right. Apathy seems to be setting in for a lot of fans. And I kind of want to ask, has apathy set in for you? I mean, I'm hearing us talk about, I got a spicy one at 8:45 I have to shoot right down out of the sky about the Cleveland Guardians. That is, we're talking about sacred cows here with one idea that some fans have. And I'm not going to say it yet, But I'm telling you right now, it's going to be world rocking coming up at 8:45 this morning. But talking about trading Stephen Kwan, talking about trading Emmanuel Clase, bringing whoever up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's still a 500 ball club. You're only a game out of the wild card as of going into yesterday. There were games in Major League Baseball yesterday, so I'd have to take another look at that. But I ask, has apathy set in? But is it rightfully so that the apathy has set in? Because I also say, well, I don't think that they're going to make any trades to add to this ball club. In fact, I probably think that if they were going to trade anything, they would trade players away. So why should fans get themselves excited? And to say that they are the Pittsburgh Steelers of Major League Baseball is about as right as you possibly can be. They don't fire coaches. They don't fire guys in the front office. They bump up guys in the front office. They leave on good terms in their front office. They're usually pretty good at drafting. They're usually pretty good at talent acquisitions, which are free agents or trade deadline players that can help fill in and do some good things for them. But they're never taken dreadfully seriously. They play well enough to get your hopes up for a moment, to get you to love them, but then there's a problem with that. But there's a tremendous difference. The NFL is still set up in a way that if you had everything that the Guardians have, you should be a perennial contender, and you should probably win Super Bowls. In Major League Baseball, you still can't guarantee any of this for a long period of time. So I still have to treat the postseason, because of the system that they're in, I still have to treat it as special. And you could have it in the back of your mind and think, yeah, you know, they're probably not going to go that far. They probably wouldn't go that far if they made the postseason this year. But I think considering everything that they've been through so far this year, if they were to make the postseason right now, I think that'd be an accomplishment for the Guardians.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I've always thought, you know, every sport is different and every setup is different, especially depending on who your team is, who your owner is. What the state of affairs is. There's 30 different reasons to hate every owner in sports. So let me ask you this when it comes to just the Guardians' philosophy. Because we start talking about whether apathy could be setting in with a team that, by the way, is played terrible baseball now for a while. For the last 3 weeks, they've been awful, awful. They're one game out of the wild card. Now, that has more to do probably with just the logjam of, you know, the wild card situation in the American League. Clearly, they're not winning the division. I mean, Detroit is running away with this thing and have the best record in baseball still, I believe. Isn't the whole philosophy, we're never going to have a payroll here. That's just a reality of what it is. And I'm convinced, by the way, even when ownership changes, I don't think we're going to have some huge payroll. It'll get bumped up. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near what fans would hope it is. So in this town, in this market, in this state of affairs of Major League Baseball, at least we'll see what happens after, if there's a lockout or work stoppage, whatever, that just get into the playoffs by any means necessary. And once you're in the playoffs, you're hoping that the crapshoot of Major League Baseball will allow you to have some magic.
If you were...
Isn't that the whole...
That is.
And by the way, isn't that the case for most of baseball?
Yeah.
Isn't that how most of baseball is operating?
Well, I think that that's part of the problem, is that I think it's not just apathy with the Guardians fans, which I'm talking about the general fan. I think that there's some guys who are baseball first listening to this who are disgusted about hearing about apathy about the Cleveland Guardians. Absolutely 100% true. But I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to the general fan in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. I'm talking to that general fan out there anyway, because the general fan, they have a chance to get passionate about football. Football is number one for all the country, and it seems to be on an even playing field. Baseball, it's not always on an even playing field. L.A., both New York teams, they're on a different level. They're just on a different level right now. The Cubs, they might have the wherewithal to be on a different level. You would think Boston would, but they're ripping away salary and they're investing in the wrong people, whatever it might be. I don't know. That's their problem, not mine. The teams that seem to have an actual chance to do it are doing it. The other teams, I think they're just trying to survive throughout this and trying to make a good show of it. That's why I think that the whole, well, you never know with baseball, how many times has the team spent the most money actually won the World Series? Yeah, it's a great point. back then. But before these TV deals all went to hell, these regional TV deals, I say, yeah, watch it be the Dodgers, Yankees, or Mets here over the next 5 years. One of those three teams. That's not good for your sport, no matter how much money you're counting publicly.
Would they rather have the Guardians load up every five seasons on payroll and just, hey, this is our shot, and then we fade away into irrelevance those other years? Because I don't think this town, I don't think baseball could be sustainable.
No, I don't think they could survive it. I think that it would change. If you were to find a floor and a cap, which is something we've talked about like crazy, if you were to find a floor and a cap, then yeah, I think that there might be an argument to be made about stale baseball, stale competition, like what you've had with the Steelers. But this is all made. The Steelers aren't afraid anybody else is going to spend more money. They can spend the money. It's just whether or not that they've been led by the wrong guy or the guy who's become the wrong guy too long, the wrong people too long, if they haven't replaced the guys they needed to replace fast enough yet. With us, it's like, hey, you can do these things, and you can get a little better here and a little better there, but it always seems to be in bad timing. And we're never going to be a team that's able to buy because we can't afford. And so when you are in a league that is capped now, hey, the Cavs can afford. And a lot of teams now, because of the second apron, they can also afford. It makes it a little bit easier for everybody. Now, I still think that you need a Titan to go after, but if I know in my heart of hearts that I don't even have a chance to go after those teams, or if I feel that way, then I'm not going to be able to draw much general interest. So if we've said it a million times, if the Dolans owned an NFL franchise, hey, you'd be as good as anybody out there. The Dolans own a Major League Baseball franchise, and you only have so much money that you're going to be able to work with. Yeah, I know about the Dolan family trust and everything. That ain't Paul Dolan's money. But you only have so much money that you're going to work with, and you're not going to spend into the red because it's going to be run like a business. And so I, as a fan, have to deal with that, and I don't think fans should have to talk about the business end of it all the time.
So do you think if they're one game,
it always reverts back to that.
If they're hovering around the wild card all summer long, but they're just not playing great baseball, it seems like that'll be doable. Is that not going to be enough for fans to be interested?
I think it'll be enough for fans to be frustrated to a level before football and basketball start.
Oh, and you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough.
They've been hovering around the wild card since 2013.
Yeah.
And I've been to the ballpark enough to know that nobody's there unless they go out and make these huge runs. They've got to be in charge of the division.
Yeah. He's right. I mean, you can hover around the wild card.
Well, so they'll just wait for the playoffs. And then once the playoffs start, it's all in again.
Because it's a playoff team. It's a Cleveland team that has a chance.
If you believe that this team's making the playoffs right now.
But that's what Owen's saying. They'll show up, but they can't guarantee that team's going to make the playoffs. The team started out really well last year. They want to pay off on that this year. You're not going to get it because, I think it's a valid excuse about their television deal not being able to fulfill their payroll. But this is just the fact of the matter of what they're going through right now, and we have to deal with it as fans, even though it's immensely frustrating because you don't want to hear about how poor millionaires are. So you're hitting your head against a wall going, why do I always have to talk about the business of the game? I don't always have to do that in the NBA. Now's the time to do that. I don't have to do that during the season. You don't have to do that during the NFL season. I mean, honestly, what cost the Browns more? Was it the Deshaun Watson money or was it the picks? It was the picks. They got the money, and they always find a way to get the money. So that doesn't matter. That's why people get hooked on football. Because anybody in any city that has any allegiance to any NFL team feels like they have a shot, and it's a conversation we have constantly. So until Major League Baseball fixes that, then yeah, we're going to be still mired in this where I have a great franchise that's ran by smart people that has one of the all-time great Cleveland athletes playing on it and will continue to have the same frustrations as we've had ever since the station started unless something gets fixed. And I know that because I think we had the same conversation 2 weeks ago. So it never changes. Because it's summertime and I got to talk about the baseball here that's going on, and the baseball hadn't been very good so far lately. And it's frustrating to a lot of people because you're supposed to be a defending divisional champion.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.